Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in the house of God today. Have you ever received a no answer from God? Ever struggled with the issue of unanswered prayer? I bet we've all prayed for God's help when we were in a desperate situation. Maybe you prayed for reconciliation in your family, relationship dynamics. Maybe you prayed for wisdom. You prayed for guidance in difficult times. Maybe you prayed for God's healing for a loved one, but they got worse instead and died. They passed on. Did God answer your prayer? No. We pray for God to heal and restore a struggling marriage, only to end up in divorce. Or maybe a struggling business, only to end up in bankruptcy. And we wonder, does God answer prayer? Does he? You pray to ask God to remove your suffering, but he says no, and tells you it's good for you. That's what is happening to the Apostle Paul and his thorn in the flesh in our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. But before we read our text, allow me to give you the setting ahead of time. The church at Corinth was being infiltrated by false teachers who sought to undermine Paul's apostolic authority by teaching a different gospel than the one he taught them. In an attempt to assert his apostolic credentials, Paul reveals that 14 years earlier, he had been caught up into the third heaven. There he had seen and heard things so amazing they could not be expressed in words, which no mortal man had ever seen or heard before. After receiving these revelations from God, God allowed Paul to be afflicted with a thorn in the flesh so that he would be kept from becoming proud, conceited, or prideful, so to say. So let me allow Paul to tell the story for himself. So if you have your Bible, could you please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12? And we're going to read verses 7 to 10. If you found it, please rise to your feet if you're able in honor of the reading of God's word. The New King James Version says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet, torment, and harass me, lest I be exalted above measure, become proud." Verse 8, "Concerning this thing I pleaded or implored with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, in criticisms, in insults, in needs, in persecutions, in suffering for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And somebody said, let's pray. God, our eternal Father, we thank you for the opportunity to learn from your word this morning. May your spirit rekindle and ignite a passion for prayer in our lives. May we be set ablaze for God with a passion for prayer. Please open our understanding as we unpack our text so we can see its implications on our prayer life when the Lord says no to our prayers. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. I pray for ease of speech and clarity of thought. In your name, Jesus, we have prayed. And somebody said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you. Pastor John Ferguson tells a story about his struggles with unanswered prayer. Apparently, his 15-year-old adopted son cut off ties with his family. And I quote, "Our boy has been diagnosed with an attachment disorder," he says. "The situation is complicated by the fact that he has FAS, fetal alcohol syndrome, and a number of other disabilities. It has been a challenging decade for us in many ways, until this year when we found our lives turned upside down and inside out at the chaos that attended this situation. It has been painful, humiliating, and debilitating. We have been praying for a long time that God would have mercy, stop the chaos, and heal our boy. But our prayers have gone unanswered. In the midst of feeling our lives spin out of control, I found myself getting angry with God. Why is this happening to us, and why are you not answering our prayers? We moved into darkness and pain of this world and adopted a 5-year-old kid out of a very messy and disturbing situation. We were trying to be missional, Lord, to make a difference in our community. We didn't have to do this, Lord. But why are you not answering our prayers? After a year of not sleeping, of spending countless hours searching for my son in the middle of the night, of feeling like I was going insane, of not being able to remember the simplest of things, of seeing my wife crippled with anxiety and despair, I was mad. I was mad that God was not answering our prayers. End quote. You can sense the desperation in that story. Pastor John became frustrated and disappointed because he figured that God was not going to answer his prayers. And he began to panic and to despair hopelessly. You and I can both relate to Pastor John's predicament because we have all had our share of unanswered prayer. One of the questions that people have in moments like this is, what do we do when God says no to our prayers? When we pray all the right prayers with all the right motivations. We pray, we cry, we beg, we fast, we read scripture, and we get our church community to join us in prayer. Yet God still seems to say no to our prayers. Does that mean he doesn't care? Beloved, if God said no to your prayer, please remember that you are not alone. David, one of the kings of Israel, and a man after God's own heart, prayed and fasted for his child for days so that his child could be healed by God. But God said no to his prayer, and alas, the child died. You find that story in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 to 20. Paul, in our text, prayed that God would take away the thorn in the flesh, not once, but three times. And God said no to his prayer. But the question is, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? I know you are probably wondering, what was the thorn in the flesh? There has been a lot of speculation about what Paul meant by thorn in the flesh. Some scholars teach that the thorn in the flesh was temptation, a chronic eye problem, malaria, migraines, sciatica, epilepsy, a speech impediment, or depression. Some suggest that the thorn in the flesh was the fierce opposition Paul received from his Jewish opponents. Others suggest it was some kind of a demonic or psychological oppression. In our sermon, it really doesn't matter what the thorn was. But the crucial point is that it was a chronic and debilitating problem which was a hindrance to Paul's ministry and his effectiveness in the ministry. He desperately prayed for its removal, but God said no to his prayer. However, if the passage is read carefully, Paul explains what it means. He describes this affliction as a messenger of Satan to buffet, to harass, or to torment him. And he puts it in the context of weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and the trouble he got from people who were used or sent by Satan to buffet him. I think the thorn in Paul's life was the fact that he had to deal with people who constantly caused problems and despair for his life in the ministry. An evil angel, a special messenger from Satan, had been dispatched to incite people against Paul. Some Bible scholars believe, however, that the thorn in the flesh is an idiom, a figure of speech found in Scripture, which Paul, a Pharisee, would have been familiar with. Something like, "My brother is a pain in the neck." That's a figure of speech. What about, "When I was about to get married, I got cold feet." That's a figure of speech, isn't it? "My boss gets on my last nerve." Know what I'm talking about? All those are figures of speech. So I believe that this could have been a figure of speech because it's everywhere in Scripture. And wherever it's used to refer to people who harass, annoy, and torment. For example, Joshua 23, verse 13. "Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eye." "I'll take a thorn on my neck, but not a thorn in my eye." So he says, "Until you perish from this good land which the Lord has given you." Judges chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but there shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. Paul makes this idiom a part of scripture when he was talking about his unanswered prayer. Because he wanted to talk about a constant harassment that he was enduring as he delivered the gospel. Everywhere he went, people rose against him, against the gospel, and they were harassing the churches which he had planted. Some of them were cursed with darkness in their face, like, you shall be blind because you disobey the gospel. And that person was blind right away. Paul was mad sometimes, but he told the Corinthians that his thorn in the flesh is a messenger sent from Satan to harass him so that he would not become proud. The demonic messenger influenced the unbelieving Jews to stir up the crowds against Paul, to persecute him, and to torment him emotionally. Which brings me to my first point. I save the best for last. Sometimes God allows his children to be afflicted with trouble for their benefit and for his glorious purposes. Sometimes God allows his children to be afflicted with trouble for their benefit and for his glorious purposes. Verse 7 of our text. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations that I received, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to do what? To buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, the word buffet can be understood as constantly hitting in the gut with a fist until the victim passes out. Hitting in the gut with a fist until the victim passes out. Satan uses temptations over and over again. He uses suffering and hardships to buffet, to torment, to harass, and to trouble God's children, hitting you in the gut over and over again, using persecution, for example, hardships in your life. But God has a different purpose for allowing the devil to do that to you. The same reason he had when he allowed the devil to torment Job. That's the same reason God has for you when he allows suffering in your life. The scripture states that God allows suffering so his purposes are fulfilled in us and that our faith may be tested. Underline the word tested. Trials, pain, and suffering come to test our faith. Life sometimes gives us a good beating, a good hoping. But God's purpose in permitting trials and troubles in our lives is not to beat and burden us, but rather to build our faith, to strengthen our faith in him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7 says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. When our faith is proven to be genuine, we will hear our Lord declare at his second coming, well done, good and faithful servants. Stand the test of time until the end. And God, Jesus, will give you the crown of life, and he will welcome you into his kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. The thorn in the flesh was so tormenting to Paul that on three occasions he pleaded with the Lord in desperate prayer, just like Pastor John. He said, please take it away. It's killing me. It's a big burden in my life. Please take it away. And God said, no. Which brings us to our second point. Sometimes God will say no to your prayer to show you his grace. Sometimes God will say no to your prayer to show you his grace. So these are not praying for a space in the parking lot at the Cross Iron Mills Mall. Those are not the kind of prayers I'm talking about here. We are talking about desperate prayers, life and death kind of prayers. Like something is pushing you down and you're praying for God to lift it and God says no. In verse 8, Paul tells us how he prayed over this matter. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Just like Jesus prayed three times, Father, Father, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. So, Paul prays three times as well. Perhaps he bargained with God a lot, like we do. Lord, your ministry could be better served if you take away the thorn. Your name will be glorified. I can serve you better, have more effective ministry, reach more people with the gospel. Have a more effective ministry, reach more people with the gospel. But the Lord was more concerned with building Paul's character and preventing pride than answering his prayer. Can you imagine? The Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived, the man who introduced Christianity to Gentiles and turned the Roman Empire upside down for Jesus with the gospel. The man who wrote about a third of the New Testament, if not half. That man, when he prayed about the need in his life, he found that God would not answer his prayer. And that means you're not exempt. If God could not answer Paul's prayer, I think he will also not answer your prayer sometimes. Paul was given lashes 40 times minus 1, 2 times. Stoned to death, left outside the city of Jerusalem, came back again and began to preach the gospel. This is the man who didn't have to pray 5 times or 3 times to raise somebody from the dead. This is somebody who commanded blindness into somebody's life. Just like that, instantly, they were blind. But when he prayed about himself, God said no. Isn't that funny how it's easy to pray for others and God answers? And then when you're praying for yourself, God is not answering your prayer. What's up? What's going on here? It's hard to believe because we know that Paul was a man of prayer. He writes about prayer in all of his letters. But three times he prays and God says no. And this continues to be our reality. When we are suffering, we pray to God and God says no. Now, if you miss what I'm about to say, you miss the reason I'm sharing this message with you. The reason God kept saying no to Paul comes in verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Better than the removal of trials and suffering is the companionship and the assurance of God's enabling grace and his unmerited favor upon your life. God has given sufficient grace for us to endure hardships and to endure persecution. There's nothing, no temptation that will ever come your way that is above and beyond your strength, unless grace kicks in. So when you come to the end of the rope, that's where grace abounds. We have what it takes to endure, excel, and flourish as God's children. We have God's grace to help us cope with the hardship of this world. Verses 9b says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power is made perfect through our weaknesses. It is when we are out of strength and about to give up or give in that God's power kicks in. So we need to think of unanswered prayer in a complete new way today. Looking at the rest of the picture, not just part of the picture. Whether the thorn we struggle with today is physical, emotional, or spiritual, we can know that God has a purpose and that his grace is more than enough or sufficient when the going gets tough. Which brings me to our last point. We can still rejoice in the midst of suffering when God says no to our prayers. Paul is now able to rejoice because he has a new perspective about his suffering. Verses 9b to 10 says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So my weakest point is my strongest point because God begins to fight for me. When Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness, Paul's perspective was radically shifted to one of satisfaction and delight. He responded, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. The words of Jesus remained with Paul as an abiding source of assurance and comfort. So instead of complaining about the thorn in the flesh, he would rather boast in those infirmities. He gladly endured them so the power of Christ may rest upon him. Beloved, let's gladly endure hardships and weaknesses in seasons of unanswered prayer. so that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Sometimes God's grace and power upon you is far much better than answered prayer. Though what you need now is answered prayer, but God knows what you need best. His grace. Sometimes we pray for God to change our circumstances, but God uses our circumstances to change us, to grow us, and to strengthen our faith. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Lacking in nothing. Beloved, as I conclude, Paul is calling us to be content when God says no to our prayers. He wants us to be overjoyed in the things that we suffer, or be delighted. For it's in our weaknesses that God's power and grace is perfected. And somebody said, let's pray. God, we thank you that when our prayers are unanswered, when you say no to our prayers, we can still trust you. We can still delight in you, Lord. For at our weakest point, your grace abounds. Your grace is more than sufficient for us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to cling to you, to hold you tight. And may you hold us tight, Lord, and walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death and of suffering. And help us to look to the hills from whence our help comes from. For our help does not come from the east nor the west. It comes but from the Lord. May you comfort us in times of difficulty. When it's so hard and we want to give up, Lord, help us to understand why you said no to our prayers. May we receive a revelation that will transform and change the way we see hardships. Looking at the whole picture of what God is doing. Strengthen our faith, Lord. Help us to grow in our faith. Lift us, Lord Jesus, from every dungeon of despair and help us to put our faith in you. May this word, Lord Jesus, not return to the void, but may it accomplish the mission for which it was sent. And now as we come to the end of our service, may you dismiss us with your divine blessings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and somebody in the house said amen. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.